now, from the Center for Common Sense Counseling, here's Roland Trujillo.
Well, hello everybody. Welcome to the program. My name is Roland Trujillo, and my job is to alert you to some important things, and at the same time convey through my voice love. Now, there's no question, ladies and gentlemen, that love is the most important thing. And that is very clear when you read the New Testament, because one of the things that Christ talked about a lot was love. And so did Paul, so did John. Somehow love is the fulfillment of the law. Remember what Christ said? They asked him, what's the greatest commandment of all? And he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and your neighbor as yourself. Now the problem that we have, ladies and gentlemen, the problem that the world has, but that we as individuals have, is that we don't have love. Now I think you will agree with me that when you go out into the world, if you take off the rose-colored glasses and the blinders and see things as they are, you will see wall to wall what? Violence, cruelty, meanness, deception, greed, abuse, exploitation, lying, cheating, stealing, theft, people being cruel to each other in overt and in subtle ways. You know. And the other thing, and this is even, well, you could say worse, is that we are cruel to each other in our families. You see husbands and wives hating each other or resenting each other, fighting, accusing, blaming, arguing. You see parents being cruel to their children, saying mean things and being impatient with them, not having love, in other words. And how about just the simple fact of parents abandoning their children to daycare and abandoning their children to preschool and abandoning their children to strangers in after school? See, and a school, for the most part, they're abandoning their children to strangers. See, people who you really don't know, you're putting them in charge of your own children. So the question is, where is the love? Where is the love? See? So we're going to talk about love today. And as you can see, I do have love, but it will, if my love is expressed for you, it will come across as tough love. Because if I just give you more of the same, see, more of the same, or let me give you a classic example. Classic example, a parent is impatient with her child. Little innocent child comes up and asks her a question, and she is impatient with it, as if the child had done something wrong by asking a question. See what I mean? So you see the impatience, which is not love, and you see the confusion. See, when you confuse someone, when you try to make them wrong for doing something that's innocent or not wrong. See? When you try to blame them for something that they didn't do, or that try to make, you know, what does it say in the Bible? It says, woe unto you who call good evil and evil good. See, and then Christ said, woe unto you. You see, anyone who causes one of these little ones to stumble, he said, when they brought the little children to him, he said, anyone who causes one of these little ones to stumble, it would be better there were a millstone put around his neck. See, so what do you think you're doing when you're, if a person is impatient with a little child, and because the child is asking a question, and the parent acts as if it's wrong to ask a question? See, so you see there's no love there. So we're going to talk about love, and I'll be right back.
Do you suffer from stress? Reacting to stress is natural for animals, but for us humans, stress usually makes us irritable, impatient, and upset. We find ourselves being mean to those we should be kind to, or we find ourselves suppressing emotions until they make us upset on the inside. Shouldn't we be able to live with others without being upset with each other? The answer is yes. Right now you are too reactive. That's your problem. The stress of others causes you to react with hostility or repression. Were you in your center, the stress of others would call forth patience and understanding. It would call forth the courage to speak honestly. It would call forth patience to deal with the foibles of your fellow human beings without becoming upset. The solution to all your stress-based problems is to learn how to remain in your center. The meditation exercise helps you find your center of dignity so you'll be less reactive and more patient. Download a free introduction to the meditation at commonsensecounseling.org.
Well, here I am back, ladies and gentlemen. Now, it's good that I talk about impatience and lack of love and people who are cruel and phony and to make people feel wrong for being right. See, well, when I talk in such terms, I'm showing love, see? So suppose now, a classic example, let me finish my little example. Suppose a parent is that way, impatient with her little child. And then she turns to her friend and, you know, makes some excuse. Oh, my kid is always bothering me, interrupting me when I'm trying to talk to somebody. And then if the other friend says, oh, yes, you're right, oh, yes. See, and is very supportive. Well, that supportiveness is actually also wrong. It's actually also cruel and evil, too, because what she's supporting is an impatience, a wrong that doesn't want to admit she's wrong, and who is looking for support. So if you support wrong, you know, like, classic example, if you have Hitler, see, and if somebody's very supportive and kind to Hitler and takes good care of Hitler and says, oh, Hitler, you're so wonderful. Yes, you're doing the right thing, Hitler. See, that person is just as bad. See, almost, well, maybe not just as bad, but bad for supporting. See, so a lot of us, so that's a trap, see, to get trapped into supporting what's wrong. And people who are wrong will crave support and reassurance. Because the last thing they want to be is to have all the support withdrawn and then have to realize that they're wrong. See? So now let's talk about love in light of this basic flaw that most human beings seem to share, and that is they don't want to admit they're wrong. Now, have you ever known somebody who didn't want to admit that he was wrong or that she was wrong? Someone who would rather confuse you and make you appear wrong rather than admitting they're wrong. See? You know how that feels, don't you? Especially if it's your parent, your dad, or your mom refusing to admit they're wrong, or some teacher. See? Or some other authority. See? Or if you happen to be married to someone who doesn't want to admit they're wrong. Well, it's a great test, and it can be very frustrating. See? It can drive you up the wall to be around people like that. Well, they're everywhere. So the point is that true love is not supportive of wrong, not supportive of pride, not supportive of cruelty, not supportive of impatience and phoniness. See? Not supportive of lying, cheating, stealing, deceiving, taking advantage, not supportive of exploiting or any of that. See? Now, when I look out into the world, see, I see a lot of wrong people, and there are some right people. But the problem is, see, here's the problem. We're talking about love. And I'm saying that if I point these things out, and you hear me, and you say, yes, Roland, you're right. It's very easy to say that when it comes to other people. Oh, yes, my mother never wanted to admit she was wrong, and oh, yes, my dad was always angry, and if I tried to say something to him, he became angry. And oh, yes, the teacher had a pet and gave him A's, and the teacher gave me C's, and it wasn't fair, and I tried to say something about it, and the teacher wouldn't listen. You know, I'm sure you could, you know, or my husband was did this or did that, or my wife did this or did that, or my boyfriend did this. It's very easy. See, we have no problem agreeing that other people are wrong. But when it comes to our own self, see, that's where we don't want to admit we're wrong. See, as if we were good and everybody else was bad. Well, something very important that sooner or later, someone who wants to start living properly again, that person will at some point have to admit they're wrong and bear the pain that they're wrong. Instead of reaching for the alcohol or reaching for the marijuana or for the pill or reaching for some distraction or some music. See, look, I think I'm making a good point here. I think you can understand what I'm talking about. I think I really do. I think the average person can agree with me that the world is full of a lot of hypocrisy and phoniness and cruelty and meanness and deception and lying, cheating, stealing, and violence. And they can agree with me that it appears often in the family. And they also see that they've been around people like that. Maybe you had a mother like that, or an aunt like that, or a wife like that, or a husband like that. They didn't want to admit they're wrong. So you can see the cruelty of that sort of thing, the confusion of it, the wickedness of it. You see it, okay? All right. So if you can understand that, maybe you can begin to understand what real love a little bit. You may start to get a glimpse of what real love is in light of what I said, and that is if you support phoniness, if you support people that are wrong and don't want to admit they're wrong, see, if you're reassuring to them and comfort them, see, then you are actually enabling their wrong. You're helping them to stay wrong. See, and as you help them to stay wrong, you help them to continue to confuse other people, like their little children, for example, who they confuse and bamboozle. See, so you can see then that it's not an easy thing to go out in the world because everybody is eliciting support. Now, so you can, if you can see that that's the case, and if you can see that human beings have this flaw where we don't like to admit we're wrong, well, then you can also see that it takes love, yes, it takes love, tough love, to have the courage, to have the love to point out to someone, see, that they're wrong. Because, you know, you take your life in your hands trying to correct someone, trying to point out that they're wrong. With some people, you literally take your life in your hands. You know, how many children throughout the world have tried to speak up to their parent or someone, get beaten down, see? So it's and also if you become very upset and angry at people who don't want to admit they're wrong, then they become a tremendous stress to you. You can become totally stressed out. So it's actually a dangerous thing. So what are you going to do? Well, you have to learn not to resent other people. You have to learn not to resent them, and just see them for what they are without resenting them. I'll be right back.
Hello, this is Roland. Highlights from selected Common Sense programs are available at our website, commonsensecounseling.org. Click on Streaming Audio and you'll find programs by topic in Real Player or Windows Media format. Plus, listen to my lecture on how to stop hurting those you love and find links to all five of my blogs. It's all at commonsensecounseling.org.
If you'd like to communicate by mail, address your correspondence to Roland Trujillo, that's ROLANDTRUJILLO, Box 282, 1698 Market Street, Redding, California, 96001. That's Roland Trujillo, Box 282, 1698 Market Street, Redding, California, 96001. Please remember that Roland's program is listener-supported. Thank you.
Welcome. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I'm back again. So now, having said that, do you see how difficult my job is? Very, very difficult. Because if I start talking about those Republicans, and some people say, oh, yeah, Roland, those Republicans are no good. Or if I said those Democrats, or those people, or those corporations, or those bureaucrats, see? Or, you know, if I pointed out, or that politician, see, I said they're wrong in some way, then certain people would say, oh, yeah, Roland, you're right. Boy, they're really rotten. They're no good. They're lying. They're cheating. See? But the more I point that out, see, some people will just use that as a distraction so they don't have to look at themselves. See, as long as everybody else is wrong, see, as long as we can point to everybody else. So imagine a world where everybody became 100% right, good, honest, fair, noble, full of faith, full of love, successful, see, prospering. If everybody else was successful and prospering and doing well and principled and honorable, and there you are, and everybody else was patient and kind and had wisdom and understanding, and there you are, well, you'd have to look at yourself. You would have to look at, you know, take a look at yourself in the mirror and see your own wrong, because now for you wouldn't have somebody else to see their wrong. See, that's why a lot of people, they love to see, a lot of women love where their husband is wrong, or he's this or he's that. Oh, they just love it because they can judge him and they can feel superior to him. See how that works? So I'm not going to sit around and point out how all these other people are wrong. I'm just going to say that there comes a time, if you want to be one of the ones who turns around in life and starts to get better. See, now the other thing is that, as I said, let us suppose that you're the kind of person who doesn't want to be that way. You don't want to be the type that confuses other people and is cruel and does bad things to other people, and then don't want to admit you're wrong. And then, see, let's say you don't want to be that way. But the problem is that in your life, you have reacted and reacted and reacted to those types of people, and you fell away from your own inner ground of good, and before you know it, you found yourself wrong, mainly for resenting. See, that was probably, if you're like most people, your big mistake was resenting other people, resenting your mom, your dad, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your classmate, being jealous of someone or hating them or resenting them, see? So through resentment, you become wrong. See, resentment is not love. Remember the greatest commandment, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, so what do? We resent other people, so that's not love. When we resent other people, that's not love. And the other thing is when we judge people, that's an injustice. See, in other words, have you ever had someone, you could sense that someone was judging you? They were looking down their nose at you and judged you for something. And you could see that they were judging you, so you judged them for judging you. See? You see how their judging you became a temptation because they were playing God. They were acting holier than thou and better than you by judging you. See? Well, so now you see when you have everybody everywhere judging each other. See, well, that's not a good thing. So judgment has to go. See, judgment has to go. Now, the Christians have a very good way of expressing what we should do, and that's to discern. In other words, see somebody's wrong, but don't hate them for it. See somebody's wrong, don't resent them for it. See? But while you're at it, see, don't go around spending all your time judging other people. Instead, you know, take a look at yourself first. So let's take a look at yourself. Now, I began to say that if you're the kind of person who wants to turn your life around and start, you know, the journey back to being a whole person again, with love and understanding and kindness and no more resentment, be happy, go lucky, and carefree and innocent again, then you're going to have to begin to see your own wrong and be willing to admit your wrong. I'll be right back. Hello,
Some of you have been listening for a while and like where I'm coming from. You recognize the truth and are willing to admit you've made some mistakes. The next step is to make some positive changes in your life. A good place to start is with the meditation exercise. Most of us are too lost in our thinking. We plan, worry, and scheme. Then we act emotionally and usually make things worse. Instead of worrying and scheming, why not spend the time learning to be still and find the wisdom and a proper energy to move with? In other words, why not request our meditation exercise? It will help you get out of fixating on problems and negative thinking. To request a copy of the meditation exercise, write, call, or email us. Or just pay us a visit at consensecounseling.org. You'll be glad you did. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I hope you've enjoyed today's program. We've been talking about love. So now you see why my job is so difficult. Because I can't just spend all my time saying, oh, the government's doing this, and the Democrats are doing that, and Republicans are doing this, and these people are doing that. Instead, I have to approach things differently. Because if I just do that, then all it ends up is being misused by people who will say, oh, yeah, Roland, those people are no good. And then they feel good about themselves by just sitting around looking at the wrong in other people. Instead, what each of us must do is look at ourselves first. What did Christ say first? What did he say? First, get the splinter out of your own eye, the log out of your own eye, rather than looking at the splinter in another person's eye. That was an expression which meant, you know, first look at your own wrong. See, when we are not, see, weakness, our wrongness, our pridefulness, it tempts other people. See, number one, it tempts them to judge us, see, and also it ruins our credibility. You know, like if you have a parent sitting there with a marijuana in their hand and they're lecturing their child about not drinking or something, well, they don't have any credibility, see. Or if you have a parent with a bunch of phony friends and then they're, you know, talking about the kids' friends and knocking their kids' friends, well, see, they have their own phony friends, so they're not, see, it tempts the child not to respect them. You see what I mean? So first we must become right. Well, what does right mean? Well, right means, first of all, being willing to see your own wrong, admit it, and to give up judging other people and hating other people. So those are two very important things. See? Now, let me give you a little hint. Love is not hating. Okay? Love is not resenting. Love is not judging. See? Not resenting, not hating, not judging. Get rid of those. See? And then there may be love there. There may not, but at least if there is some love, it'll come out. But it won't be hate. See? Not resenting, not judging, not hating. You can't love and at the same time. You can't love and hate at the same time. You can't love and resent at the same time. I'm sorry, you just cannot. See? But most of us, we don't want to give up our judgments. We don't want to give up our resentments. Why? Because they support pride. They support our pride. Now, what is pride? Whatever it is, it's an ugly thing. When you've seen people that are prideful, and they look down their nose at you, or you see them hating you or judging you, it's an ugly thing, isn't it, is pride? Well, we all have some sort of pride that we use to sustain ourselves, and then if somebody happens to point out that we're wrong in some way, then we immediately become angry, furious, perhaps full of rage. See, because they're attacking the bastion of our ego, pride. But some people are willing to let go of pride, let it go, see? And then, well, then they can just be a regular person without being hateful, resentful, and judgmental. And then perhaps love can come through. Hello, this is Roland Trujillo, director of the Center for Common Sense Counseling. Most of us want to live our lives with calmness, patience, and understanding.
I'd like to talk for a moment about how to deal with life's problems and about a new free offer we have for you. If you could learn to be calm in the moment of a stressful situation, you would not add any fuel to the fire. When the moment of stress arrives, you would influence the moment instead of the moment influencing you. The way to be prepared to meet life with calmness is through a proper meditation. This meditation is learning how to become still before the truth. Through this practice, you will download enough calmness and understanding to meet the day's vicissitudes. By practicing our meditation, you can gain the presence of mind to stand back and observe the moment, see what is needed, and respond with reason and patience instead of upset or resentment. The triumph of responding properly and the delight of gaining understanding about ourselves and others lead to a procession of joys. Defeat turns to victory and fear to a new zest for life. You can download a free introductory version of the meditation exercise at our website, www.commonsensecounseling.org. Why are you waiting? Download your free meditation at commonsensecounseling.org. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you've enjoyed this little introduction to what love is. And perhaps you can see that you don't have love. You have a lot of resentment, a lot of judgment of other people, a lot of unforgiveness. See? So I ask you to let go of those. You might want to get my meditation. It helps you to become calm and centered. And get a couple of my books, like The Best of Roland. It's a wonderful book. Get those. Go to my website and get those. Get the meditation. Get one or two of my books. Start to become acquainted with yourself. Start to become the person you were meant to be. Until next time, bye-bye.
You have been listening to Roland Trujillo from the Center for Common Sense Counseling. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.commonsensecounseling.org. You'll find lots of free helpful information, and you can also order materials or make a donation by using your credit. Once again, the web address is commonsensecounseling.org. If you'd like to communicate by mail, address your correspondence to Roland Trujillo. That's R-O-L-A-N-D-T-R-U-J-I-L-L-O. 1698 Market Street, Box 282, Redding, California, 96001. That's 1698 Market Street, Box 282, Redding, California, 96001. Please remember that Roland's program is listener-supported. Thank you.